Welcome to Eagle FM at the I, and a very good morning to you, my dear listener. Thank you for joining us at this point in time. So it is Friday morning, the 16th of January, and the year is 2026. In my mind, actually, I was thinking 2025. The year is 2026. Welcome to your number one talk radio station, and this is Eagle FM. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of, you know, news, in terms of business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear here and quiet and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so you can be part of this bigger conversation. So this is your platform, and this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is almost, it's not almost, the time is either the time, it can be almost, all right? It's 6 minutes past the hour of eight. It's Friday. You can forgive me. It's a Friday. You can forgive me. As Fridays always give you that kind of energy, all right? You know, it gives you some kind of energy. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's because you're looking forward to the weekend. But it gives you that, you know. All right. So 6 minutes past the hour of eight. And as usual, we start with our first segment, the segment of looking back in the books of history. So let me greet you. Let me greet the whole continent. Good morning, Africa. So, and welcome to our segment of On This Day in Africa. Wherever you're listening us from Africa, it could be from Senegal, or it could be from Morocco. Well, I'm speaking to teams that are at the final of African Cup of Nations. Or whether you know, listening us from, you know, South Africa, or anywhere, you know, Somalia, Sudan, Mozambique. Yeah. So East Africa, Nigeria, and everywhere, anywhere in Africa. So welcome to this segment of On This Day in Africa. And today we are turning back the pages of history to look at some of the most dramatic, hopeful, and pivotal moment that have shaped our continent. So let's start our journey in the late 70s. Okay, let's start our journey in the late 70s. Our first stop take us to 1979. On this day, Angola and Cuba signed a major cooperation agreement. The pact actually strengthened Cuba's military and technical support for Angola, which was in the midst of struggle for liberation and facing regional conflict. So it was a significant moment that showed just how global the Cold War had become with Africa. Back to democracy, a path he himself actually would follow decades, some years later, to become the elected president. Now, it was a chaotic day, but one that, in a strange way, you know, helped pave the road back to a civilian leadership. And our next stop is the year 2001, the Democratic Republic of Congo. It was on this day that the country's president, Laurent Désiré Kabila, was assassinated. And in a shocking turn of event, you know, it was one of his own bodyguard who pulled the trigger. What a traitor, what a traitor. So this tragic event saw power immediately actually pass to his son, Joseph Kabila, who stepped into one of the most difficult leadership on the continent. And he was just about hopeful moment, you know, from 2006 in Liberia. On this day, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was sworn in as a president. This wasn't just a change of government. I think it was history in making, because this was the first woman to be elected as the head of state anywhere in Africa. So, and that has inspired millions across the continent and the world. So it was truly a landmark day for African leadership. And finally, we learned in 2017 in the Gambian, in the Gambia, this was the climax of a tense political standoff. The country's long-time president, Yahya Jammeh, had lost an election but simply refused to, you know, to step down. Said, nah, I'm not going to leave this His Excellency position. So, but on this day, the crisis was resolved when the West African Region Bloc, ECOWAS, intervened militarily to ensure the will of the people was respected. For the first time, actually, ECOWA did something, you know, to change the course of history. And the newly elected president could take office. President could take office after that intervention of the of ECOWAS. It was a powerful statement, actually, from the regional unity and the defense of democracy. So don't just you lost and you still want to actually, you know, cling on power. So yeah, it was a powerful statement about regional unity and the defense of democracy. And that is your journey through history for today on this day in Africa. So thanks for joining us. Ooh, I don't know what. Why it's always happening to me? Eh? Why this is always happening to me, you know? So it doesn't happen to others, but when I'm here, and especially these times, it just goes off and on, you know? Please. Huh? It's very annoying. Very, very annoying. All right? And I believe it's also annoying for you as listeners. Okay? It's technical stuff. And I think the technical stuff really hate me. They hate me. When I come in, it's only when you have all these things happening around. So, all right. So I probably have to pray to Allah so that, you know, this it doesn't happen. Well, yeah, if Allah. Okay, let's not get into that. That's for another day to discuss. All right. Today's Friday, January the 16th. The thought for the day. What is our thought for the day? Have you ever somebody told you that, hey, man, leave it. Leave to fight another day. So there's a saying, our saying today is, and our thought for the day is, live to fight another day. So the saying actually means that it is wiser to retreat from a difficult or unwinnable situation now so that you can survive. Sometimes you just need to do that. Regroup and have another opportunity to compete or confront the challenge in the future. So we're going to continue this thought of the day after this commercial.
When you choose UNAM, You get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Well, if that's your first time to UNAM, well, see yourself in UNAM. That you in UNAM, it's you. All right, make sure that, you know, you are at UNAM. All right, so our thought for the day, before the ad came through, we're looking at leave to fight for another day. It's a saying that, you know, it is wise to, as I said, to retreat from a difficult or unwinnable situation at this point in time, like now, so that you can survive or regroup yourself and have another opportunity to come to compete or confront the challenge in the future. So rather than pushing forward and risking total loss or destruction, withdrawing when the odds are against you, preserve your strength and give yourself a chance to return stronger later. So in other words, the saying actually emphasize a strategic retreat and survival over pride. You could be pride. You could have that pride. No way. Or an immediate confrontation. So the saying is suggesting that preserving yourself today make it possible to continue the struggle another day. So live to fight another day. So the choices you're making today and the decision, make sure that you present yourself today to make it possible to continue the struggle another day. So that's our thought for the day. So good morning and welcome. This is Unpacking the Day, coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. And it's great to have you in my company. It's great to have you in our company. It's great to have you. It's great to have you joining us at this point, if you're just joining us now. And we love being in your company, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So what are we going to talk today? What are we going to discuss today? This morning, we're looking at, it's also a story that we have in our edition, in today's edition of The Villager by David. So the World Economic Forum report, it has identified a severe lack of economic opportunities and unemployment as the foremost risk facing Namibia in 2026. So we're going to look at that. So we're going to unpack it a little bit. Okay. So to see what contributed to that, what are the factors that contributed to the fact that, you know, economic opportunities and unemployment are the most risk facing Namibia in 2026. That's what we're going to look at. And interesting thing also, I think we have spoken enough, I think, on a different shows that U.S. House of Representatives has given a massive thumbs up to the extended AGOA until the end of 2028. If we have time, we're going to look at that and maybe from a different angle, you know. And there's also something, a story that is very interesting. U.S., you know, flexes muscles. And that forces Iran out of South Africa, naval drills. So that also, I have an angle on that, you know, that I want us to discuss. Well, and of course, your participation will also be part of the show. Okay. So yeah, our time is about 19 minutes. I'm at about 20 minutes. Just get to 20. So 20 minutes past the hour of 8. And thanks for joining us. We will be back. Stay tuned.
Omudiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro ni randito ma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onora heta tuimwe. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. And good morning to you. Good morning, Namibia. You're listening to Eagle FM. Eagle FM Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. The World Economic Forum has just dropped its Global Risk Report 2026. It's a report called Global Risk Report 2026. And guess what? And guess what tops the list for Namibia? It is not crime. Of course not. It is not corruption. It's not even food shortages, the drought that we just experienced a few months ago. Well, it is unemployment and lack of economic opportunities. But last year, in last year's report, the one looking at 2025, poverty and inequality were our biggest threat. Those were our biggest risk. Poverty and inequality were our biggest threat, with unemployment actually coming second. Last year, unemployment actually coming second. It was still actually catching up. So now, actually have taken over. So joblessness have moved up to the first place, and the other big risk remain. This is inequality. You also have to think of rising debt, both domestically and foreign domestic debt as well. So and struggling public service, that's also a risk. Those are still remaining, and of course crime also. But there's also a new twist in this report. There's also a new twist. Now we have water and food supply shortages. These have also muscled their way into the top five. So now, when you talk about the World Forum economy, the World Economic Forum, every year in Davos, Switzerland, the world powerful, you know, gathers, business leaders, presidents, economists, you know, they talk about global challenges. But one thing you should know is that, but this report that we're discussing today, this report that we're talking about, is not just what those guys are saying, you know? And these are not just foreign people that are saying things about Namibia. So this is actually based on something called the Executive Opinion Survey. Executive Opinion Survey. Over 1,300 experts across the world. So these are academic, business people, government officials. So they all weigh in on what risk their country face. So the risks that are listed here are not actually listed by MIF or World Bank or something like that. These are listed by our own academics, business people, government officials. These are, it's not something that is actually coming from someone else. So don't come and say, look, you know, these people have a wrong picture of Namibia or something like that. No, this is actually coming from our own executive opinion survey, you know, from our own academic, from our own business people, from, you know, from our president, from our business leaders, from our economists, from our government official. So they all weigh in on what risk their country, our country, is facing. So this is something really, really real. Eh? It's not just some people giving opinion, some foreigners giving opinion on what is happening in Namibia. And for Namibia, the verdict is very clear, man. The verdict is very clear. And when are we going to take it seriously? Unemployment and lack of economic opportunities. So this have jumped now into the number one spot. And this two actually fit, they actually like a couple. You know, unemployment, why we have unemployment is because there's a lack of of economic opportunities. So it's glued together like a couple, really. And last year, as I said, poverty and inequality topped the list. So now, this year, the job crisis has overtaken everything else. So it's something that we need to take serious. So what does actually that tell us? What does this tell us? When you listen to that, and please go and read the article. Make sure that you read the article, the Villages edition, the Friday's edition of the Villager it's out already, and I believe you must have subscribed. If you haven't, just do that right now. Or what you need to is just send a WhatsApp message to this number. You know, say subscribe. No, 0801-241-44. 0801-241-44. Okay, so, and you will be receiving your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, without even penny, without that little penny, that little money that we have just made now. So little, I hate it. You know, the 10 cent that we have made now, it doesn't even fit. Who makes something like that? Seriously, that was money wasted. Money wasted on money. Eh? So, like my daughter said, why do they have to make some other money? That money could have been used for something. Imagine, you know. And she's, you know, this is a great, now is a grade 10 student. So now the question was, what does this tell us? So that, you know, the job crisis has taken over everything else. So it has become actually our the risk for 2026 for Namibia. So it tells us the situation really has get worse. It has get worse, and it didn't get better. The situation didn't get better. And it says, and when you look at where we want to go, we actually look as if we're going to different directions. When you look at our development plan and our development goals, you know, we say, we Okay, we're going to come back after this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
So welcome back. So that's Imba, and make sure that you download that as well. You know, it's a very good app to have. I found it very, very, very helpful. It's very handy. It's absolutely very handy. I would call that it's very handy wherever you are. For those, even if you're not a religious person, you find yourself, you go to a funeral, you go to, you know, to a wedding, or you go to any kind of church services because of something happened. You might not go normally, but you find yourself there. You don't want to be like a stranger. You know, you don't know what, you don't have a hymn now, you know, for you to sing or to participate. And I can tell you, Imba solves that problems. Yeah? Imba solves that problem. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in, whether it's Oshiorero, whether it's Lozi, whether it's Africans, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter with church. Yeah? We have, you have all of them out there. And if you're out there and your church booked hymnal is not there, make sure that you contact us to have your hymnal there. You know, so no sharapo, no sharapo technology. Come on, people. All right. So don't left behind with the technology. So make sure that you get your hymnal in the Imba. So let's come back to what we're talking about, being the unemployment being the top risk for 2026 this year. Unemployment and economic opportunity. So lack of economic opportunity to put it right. Now let's put number on this. Okay, so that's how we could understand. Let's put some flesh on these bones. All right, let's talk numbers. You know, I told you I love numbers. Okay, real numbers that affect. You know, let's look at the real numbers now that are affecting people, that affect real people. So now, as I said, this is an article also in today's paper, in today's Village. Make sure that you're looking at that. It's a story by David. So the details, you can go through much, much more details in there. So we're just unpacking the story. So according to the Bank of Namibia's own research, 58% of working Namibians are in the formal economy. Okay? So 58% of working Namibians are in the informal economy. Sometimes we don't really think deep when we hear percentage. That's more than half of us. Of the working people. So it's more than half of us, you know, more than half of us, working Namibians are hustling in the informal sector. More than half of the population is actually hustling in the informal sector. Well, these are the people selling vegetables by the roadside, or fat cook and kapana on the roadside. Or maybe it, because now if you go to almost every house now, you have that small tuck shop, and people who are doing just piece of jobs here and piece of job there. So these are the people that we're talking about. 58%, over half of the population. Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with informal work. Okay, there's nothing wrong with informal work, of course. So it's an honest work. It feeds families. But here's the problem. informal work means no job security. Okay, at any time that can, you know, can just poof, it disappeared. So no job security, no pension, no medical aid, no protection when times get tough. So you are on your own. You are absolutely, absolutely on your own. That the big chunk of the population that is working, which is actually working in an informal sector now, informal economy, it's actually in this position. It's in this position. So you can now understand now, this continue to be the risk. That's continue to be the risk. Unless we do something different, unless we do something about it, it continue to be a problem in 2026. And when we look at the recent census, the data shows our overall unemployment. Our overall unemployment is about 36.9%. And if we're talking about the youth, especially if we're talking about young people aged between 15 to 24, that actually figure has jumped to, you know, over 44%. Well, and some studies suggest when you include those who, now, when you include those who have given up, actually looking for work entirely, some have just given up looking for work entirely, it's above 60%. 60%. Six out of every 10 young Namibian. So let's just that sink in a little bit. Six out of 10 young Namibian. Let me give you maybe a dramatic, something that will make you think twice. Now, imagine I'm giving you being the devil, you know? You know, there's this ceremony that's going on. You know, picture a university graduation ceremony. The rows and rows and rows of young people in caps and gown, you know, it's graduation gowns and caps, dreaming in their, you know, you see dreams in their eyes and, you know, excited, and their parents are beaming with pride, you know. Now imagine telling now, you are this devilish, you are now the devil. Imagine telling now six out of every 10 of them, yeah, you know, that 60% that we're talking about. Now you're telling every six out of every 10 of them, hey, sorry, man, there's nothing out there for you. Yeah. So six out of every 10, you know, you the devil, now you're telling me, you're graduating. All right, good. All right, enjoy the day, but well, there's nothing out there for you. Eh? So imagine you're that devil. And that's our reality. This number, that's what the numbers say. That's our reality. So that's our reality, my dear people. So in the article, we have Peter Namasep, okay? In the article, that article in today's edition, today's The Villager, we have Peter Namasep, who is a public management graduate, who now, as I said, who now runs a tuck shop. It's a graduate. That's what I said, be the devil, you know? Be that devil, you know? So he ran a tuck shop. Peter says this finding of this global risk report, I said it didn't surprise him at all. So he said, well, I'm not surprised at all. So he lost hope. He's those among those who have given up looking for a job. So he lost hope in hunting and decides to explore other areas, other avenues, you know, because as he put it, waiting indefinitely is not an option. At least you have a person like Peter who decided, I need to do something. And that's also something maybe we need to look at. Given our situation, what maybe we need to look, we need to go into a different direction. And somehow, to government credit, we were talking about TVET the other time, that, you know, going through TVET now, and you can have your qualification through that up to PhD level of educations. So in somehow, we're probably looking at addressing that. So, and sometimes these are just on paper, okay? Sometimes these are just on paper. Think, where is, and that's what comes in mind. What comes, when I say sometimes it's just on paper, I may have some people who come and really, you know, get me on now and really think, you know, what are you talking about? Yeah. So think of, and now what comes to my mind, this is education. We're talking about education. There was, when was actually, the budget of student village was approved? When was, you know, by parliament or something like that? It was in 2022, 2023. Where is the student village? Any construction, anybody, please, people that are in Windhoek, I haven't been last week, last year, never been in Windhoek, or any people who in a know, is there any construction that is happening? Is there any construction that is happening of student village? Is something that was, everybody was saying, wow, that's something we welcome, and I don't hear about it anymore. It just disappeared, like poof. What is the other things that that I read that I, you know, I think, you know, as I said, things on paper, those are things that's on paper, they are okay. Eh? Come to my mind. The stadiums. Were the stadium not, we were promised that there will be stadium in each of the region. Some, well, with different grades anyway. So, but each region would have stadium, isn't it? What happened? Any regions where the stadiums are actually being, because those were in the budget of 20, they were in the budget of 2025, 2026, isn't it? These were budgeted for 2025, 2026, or 2024, 2025? No, 2025, 2026. Any construction that is happening, you know, about these stadiums? You know, so yeah, I'm you know, these yeah, when we, okay, that just comes in, it just come to my mind when I was talking, what was that actually I was talking to? So wait, I was talking about Peter finding, you know, I said, when he said he's not surprised, and then I said, well, sometimes we have all this good, you know, document and policies and whatever, even budget has been approved, but nothing that we see. So, yeah, and Peter Namasev, that we said, he lost hope in job hunting and decided to explore other avenues, which is actually good, which we would encourage other youth to do, because he said, you know, definitely he can't wait forever. So, and I'm mentioning this because I'm mentioning Peter because Peter's story is not unique. Okay? Read the story yourself. Peter's story is not unique. There's also other stories there. I just completely just take out this Peter's one. It is a story of thousands of Namibian graduates. They have the same story. You study hard, you get your qualification, you send out application after application, and you hear nothing. Nada. Or you are told the need that you need to have experience. Sometimes you are told, hey, you need to get experience. You must be experienced. You must have 5 years of experience. But how do you get experience when no one will give you the first job? And it's getting worse. It's getting worse in 2026. That's the risk. You know, that's the major risk in 2026, according to the World Economic Forum. So then what do you do? What do? You do like what Peter does. You do like what Peter does. You adapt. You gotta do adapt. You know? So you get to adapt. So you hustle. You got to hustle. You start something small. It's an example. This is also, Peter is also an example. Maybe a tax shop like Peter. Maybe buying and selling. Maybe offering services, anything. You do what you must to survive. You got to do what you got to do to survive. So, but here's the question we need to ask ourselves. All right? Is this acceptable? Now, seriously, now listen to me. Is this acceptable? Should this be the fate of our educated young people? Should a degree in public management lead to selling sweets and cold drinks? Because that's what it does. Should a degree in public management lead to selling sweets and cold drinks? I want us to think. I'm not belittling tax shop owners, okay? This is not just, I'm not belittling that, okay? Not at all. As I said earlier on, we got to do something. We got to do something to survive. We got to adapt. And Peter is showing initiative. So he's creating something. But shouldn't our economy be structured in a way that gives people choices? Shouldn't be structured in a way that it gives people choices that create opportunity that match people's qualification and aspirations? So why do we have actually people qualifying in certain field that it doesn't match any job market or aspiration for young people? Whose fault is that? You are the one who are providing this kind of qualification, and this qualification has no job market. Maybe the question we need to ask is, why actually this is happening? Is it just that's just bad luck, or is it just because of the global economy, or are there deeper issues? Are really there deeper issues? Yeah, when you look at the article, there are some experts there saying this problem is not new. They said this is not new. We had national development plans before, and we have had strategies on papers. The challenge? What is the challenge? The challenge is implementation. That's our disease. And it's exactly what I'm saying. I was giving an example that, we even approve a budget for stadiums. Any construction anywhere in one of the region? So please do come through and tell me where there is, the construction of stadium has started. All right, I could be, I could be not informed, not well informed in terms of this. What I'm trying to indicate is that we have a problem of implementation. So we can write all plans, we can write all the plans we want, but if they gather dust in government offices, nothing changes, as we see. As I said, where is the student village house? And in the story, it talks about corruption as well. Corruption, according to some analysts, is the major block in this process. Of course. So now, think about it like this. Okay? It could be a very simple analogy that I'm giving you. So imagine you are building a house. Okay? I'm trying to give you what corruption can do. So you're building a house, you have cement, you have bricks, and roofing materials. Okay, and others materials also. But every day, some of those materials disappear. All right? Stolen. By the time you are ready to build, you don't have enough. So the house either it doesn't get built or it's poorly constructed because you didn't have all the material that you needed because some of them has been stolen. The reason sometimes, like we're talking about, you know, the village, student village that we're, you know, we talked about, it could be that. That could be exactly what I'm trying to paint here. You realize you come to when now you started building, you realize, well, you don't actually have enough anymore to build. You know that because certain materials have disappeared. Some money has been disappeared. So that's what corruption does to development. Resources meant for schools, clinics, roads, job creation company, or job creation programs, they disappeared into private pocket, into offshore accounts, into luxury lifestyles for just a few people. That's what corruption does to development. So, and according to international assessment, corruption and illicit financial flows. So the corruption and illicit financial flows remain a serious concern in Namibia. This remain actually a serious concern in Namibia. They lead to mismanagement of public funds. They also, you know, affect, you know, foreign investment. And they undermine the very institution meant to create opportunities for citizens. So the African Development Bank's country's focus report, there was a report for 2025. It highlighted this clearly. It really highlighted this clearly. Corruption lead to mismanagement of public funds, debt of foreign investment. So it's not just a moral issue. So where you carry, that's wrong, that's unfair. No, it's an economic issue. It's an economic issue and it's directly affecting job creation. That's why we find ourselves where we are now. That's why this is a problem. That's a risk for Namibia, top risk for Namibia. And another serious question I'm asking you guys is, why it is so hard? Seriously, think about this, okay? I don't know. You tell me. Well, there are a few things that we can look at. There are some factors that we can look at. But why is it so hard to create jobs in Namibia? Seriously, why is it so hard? Can someone tell me? Why is it so hard to create jobs in Namibia? Why? No, I really want you to discuss that. I really want you to touch on that when you're coming through, okay? Why is so hard? Is it corruption that we talked about? Is those things that we were looking at earlier? Of course, there are some few things, you know, talking to people and actually reading, you know, there are some factors that we can look at. You know, for example, our economy is heavily, heavily dependent on extractive industries. Mining, fishing. So these industries generate revenue, yes, but they don't create massive employment. So that contribute to that, okay? Mining is capital intensive, not labor intensive. So you need machinery and technology, not thousands of workers. You understand? So that definitely, as I said, there are factors that we can look at that contribute to why, you know, lack of jobs in Namibia. But tell me, why is it so hard to create jobs in Namibia? The other factor is that we import almost everything. We are importing our jobs. we are importing our job as well as we import our raw materials. So open your cupboards. Go home. Or you are at home. I just want you to open your cupboard at home now. Look at your clothes. Okay, look at your electronics, the electronics that you have, your furnitures. How much of it is actually made in Namibia? I remember the other time, who was actually talking to David, and he mentioned actually what the Oshituthi, the wine, the second, you know, the wine, the Oshituthi wine. It's actually made in South Africa. And someone said, well, is that it's probably just a South African saw a market in Namibia and take the opportunity and brand it with a Namibian name. It could be Tassenberg still, you know, say, let me create exactly the same thing for Namibia. And branded, you know, more locally. It could be Tassenberg. I don't know. But it's made in South Africa. That's not a Namibian product. Unless someone knows something different. So now, what does that mean? As I said, how much of these, you know, we are actually importing jobs? And I ask how much of this is actually made in Namibia, all these things. Very, very little. Very little things that are made in Namibia. This means the job for making those products exists somewhere else. They exist in China. They exist in South Africa. They exist in Europe. Eh? Not here. And unless we have to change it, we're only talking about it. We're talking about beneficiation, value addition. But do you see something being done? Eh? Do you exactly see something that being done? We're just living in our head. We need to see. Yeah. Well, and another factor is that our manufacturing sector is very, very tiny. It's not big. Yeah. And the 6th National Development Plan acknowledges this. It does acknowledge this. We need to move beyond just exporting raw materials. We need to process them here. Create value here. Employ people here. Eh? So imagine instead of exporting raw fish, we talked about fish yesterday, we processed and packed it here. Many of those tins in our shelf are not made here, but it's in Africa. So instead of importing processed food, we grew and packed it here. How many jobs would that create? Everybody sees that. This is not, I mean, as I'm talking to you like this, this is not new to you. But what is being done? What is that being done? The change, as Kankwa Nyoka used to say, the change requires a deliberate action. It requires a deliberate decision, because to achieve all what we are dreaming, it requires investment. It requires massive, massive investment. It requires skill development. It requires reliable infrastructure. Electricity that cannot cut off. Yesterday, I started working, you know, preparing this actually around 11, because, you know, from around 7:30, to 11, there was no electricity. It's not that I didn't have unit on it, but it's just that there was no electricity. And it became frequent. Electricity that doesn't cut off. Water that flows. We're talking about to change all this. It requires all this. Road that connect markets. Eh? Internet. That actually works. Maybe it's the time we get actually Starlink. Yeah? So, we have packaged all these dreams in the document called NDP6. We packaged there. It is there. Yeah? And is NDPC and NDP 6 the answer? Is it the answer? Ideally, is the answer. On the paper, is the answer. On the paper, it looks impressive. Economic growth and transformation, building resilience, diversifying the economy, boosting agriculture, investing in technology and innovation, improving infrastructure. On paper, it's very impressive. And the plan even talks about the green economy, about renewable energy, about green hydrogen project that could position Namibia as a global player. Yeah? It is there. On the paper, it's very impressive. But here's the critical question. How is this plan different? How is this actually different from previous five national development plan? How is actually this different? We have the plans before. Good plans. It's not that we just wake up now and think and just woke up now and say, "Woo, no value addition." So we need to add value to our resources or beneficiation and all. We just didn't wake up now and think, "Okay, this needs to change." There have been good plans, detailed plans. Go to them. But what is our disease again? Kind of like in a class. What is our disease again? Implementation has always been the problem. That is our disease. Maybe that's something that we need to look into. And if you're a lawmaker, not maybe those the lawmaker are making the law. The actually is if you are the enforcer of the law, wherever you are, whatever position you are the one who is failing us, the enforcer of the law. And I'm not talking the police here. I'm talking about the policies that we have made, that we have developed. Who need to implement that? Executive directors, you know, ministers, government officials, and you. When I'm talking about government, you could be one of them. It could be you. Also, we're not just looking at the top there. We're looking at you, the implementer. You are the problem. The NDP 5 ran from 2017 to 2022. Yeah, NDP 5 ran from 2017 to 2022. Its goals include poverty eradication. Poverty eradication, job creation, sustainable economic growth. Now, did we achieve poverty eradication? It's actually worse. Did we achieve job creation? It's actually worse. Sustainable economic growth? We have a steady economic growth, okay? But not sustainable economic growth. All right? So did we achieve those goals? Clearly not. Because clearly not, if unemployment is now our biggest risk. If unemployment is now our biggest risk, definitely we haven't. So what makes NDP6 different? What mechanism are in place, to ensure it doesn't just gather dust on a government shelves? What mechanism? So these plans, whatever plans they are, they need monitoring. It needs accountability. It needs accountability. It needs regular public, reporting. We need to know where are we on progress. Where are we on progress? We're only about 6 years now. Four years to Vision 2030. Yeah? It needs consequences when targets aren't met. That's one thing. Need consequences. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good.
Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Maybe what makes it different is the alignment.
Yeah.
There were a lot of kind of misalignment.
Mm.
But I think proper coordination has been adopted.
Yeah.
So now, in terms of opportunity, there is. So yesterday,
there is a bit of a sound, noise, a bit of noise.
Yesterday there was a guest whom we were listening to from David Shombe.
Yeah.
And they were talking about risk.
Yeah.
And I think in Namibia, they identify actually, they were pointing that the four major ones, lack of improper, lack of economic opportunity that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And also the second one was the...
You're a little bit far. You're
not... Inequality.
Yeah, no, that's much better.
Mm. And, this debt is one of them as well. I think it was the third one. But it's true, sometimes the economic opportunity might be there.
Yeah.
But it might not be identified. For example, if you are talking about the rural area, for example, the economic opportunity must be taken there where the people are.
Mm.
They might be there. But if, let me call you back.
All right. Economic opportunity has to be identified by many actors, if we have Varumbola, for example, in Ongwediva, shouldn't be identifying, when you're training your people, when you're training now your student, shouldn't looking at what is available in this region, and what are the needs, not only necessarily in that region, but what are the needs in this region, so that when the people you're training come out of this institution, they really address, they attending to the needs. They really have a job to do because there are needs. Business is actually attending to problems. So do our curriculum, do our, programs attend to society problems? This mismatch that you're talking about, exactly that's the problem. Now, the alignment on paper, that's very good, but we then need to see the implementation. I think he's right. So there is a realignment, but realignment, you can have that nicely on paper. As everybody, as we said, we hear our ministers and our president talking about value addition, and we can see, you and I, you don't need to be an economist, or you don't need to be, someone who have studied, politics or economy to understand that. But implementation, this is, as we see, we're going in a different direction. We're going in totally in a different direction. So we need to diagnose where is this disease called implementation. And sometimes we know where it is, we just don't want to take decisions. Like when you have when you have problems and you think, okay, over time it will maybe sort itself out. You don't want directly actually to, pin it in the butt. As there's a pin in the butt, So that's could be where we are. We laissez-faire leadership that looking at just, okay, at one point maybe this will disappear and it grows bigger and bigger until we can't handle it anymore. So yeah, and let's talk about something else the report mentioned, that's income and wealth inequality. So it's number two on the risk list for Namibia, all right? So Namibia has one of the highest level of inequality, as Uncle Bono was saying, we have the highest level of inequality in the world. And sometimes you keep hearing this until it doesn't bother you anymore. You understand? When you get used to something, then it becomes familiar that it doesn't bother you anymore. You're not bothered anymore. You kind of accept things as they are. So, highest level of inequality in the world, and second only to South Africa, according to the World Bank estimate. Our Gini coefficients, which measure inequality, is among the highest globally. And for how long are we talking about this? Okay, what we need to see is to see that, you know, from year to year, we see that gap becoming narrow. But instead, we see that actually that gap becomes bigger and bigger. So what does this look like in practice? It means a small percentage of Namibian. When we're talking about now this coefficients, our Gini coefficients, which means inequality, is we are the among the highest globally. It means a small percentage of Namibian control the most of the wealth. A small percentage of people control the most of the wealth. Now, so I want you to think, okay? Now, so if that's okay, now you have, the other thing is that while now the majority, now you have a small percentage that is actually controlling the wealth, and then the majority actually struggle. It means two different Namibias, okay? Two Namibias exist side by side. You have two Namibias that exist side by side. One with swimming pool, private schools, and overseas holiday. You know, you have that Namibia of people. This 20%, this small percentage of Namibian who control most of the wealth. This is the Namibia now of swimming pools, private schools, overseas holidays. And another with, you know, and another Namibia with shacks, you know, food insecurity, and no running water, no electricity, you know. So these are the two Namibias exist side by side. Now, this inequality is not just, this is unfair. Eh? It's not just to say, well, this is unfair. It's economically destructive. Economically destructive. Think of it. Well, think of it in this way. Well, that's my looking at it anyway. When most people have little money, okay? Now, we're talking about a large majority. It's only a small percentage of Namibian control most of the wealth. That means most people have, you know, don't have money, don't control the wealth. So when most people have little money or little wealth, they cannot buy goods and service. You see? They cannot buy good. They cannot buy service. Now, business cannot actually grow. So if we cannot buy goods and services, business cannot grow. Which means they cannot create job. If business cannot grow, they cannot create job. So that's why we find where we are. We find ourselves where we are. And if there are no opportunity, it means, as I said, business cannot grow. So it perpetuates, and then that's actually perpetuates the cycle that we're talking about. That's why 2026, we're looking at this, that unemployment and lack of economic is the biggest risk we're facing, according to a World Economic Forum. So, little money cannot buy goods and services, which means business cannot grow, which means you can't create jobs, and, you know, you perpetuate that circle. So, and the World Bank, The World Bank estimate that 27.5% of Namibian lived in poverty in 2025. 27.5% lived in poverty in 2025. So that means more than one in four. Yeah? More than one in four. So, and with modest growth, as I said, we had a modest growth and higher, and with now, with that modest growth and higher unemployment, that number is expected now to remain higher. Then remember not long ago, Namibia was classified as an upper middle income country. It was not long ago. Do you remember? As I said, we were going up. Eh? We were really growing. So, not long time ago, Namibia was classified as upper middle income country. We have resources. You know, we have resources, we have wealth, but it concentrated in too few hands. Eh? That's concentrated in too few hands. So inequality that we talk about, it's only concentrated in few hands. So the six national developing plans, you know, talks about Vision 2030. Now, a prosperous industrial nation, higher quality life of all Namibians, economic prosperity, you know, social progress, all good things. When you read, you know, you salivate in your, you know, in your mouth. Yeah? So, and we are now in 2026, 4 years until 2030, 4 years. Are we on track? Honestly. Are we on track? Not if unemployment is getting worse. Not if inequality remains among the highest in the world. Not if more than half of our workers are in informal sectors. Well, but it's not too late. Eh? It's not too late. 4 years is, it's time enough to change course. We may not actually achieve what we want, but we can change course. You understand? We can change the direction. We can change the direction. To get serious now, it's kind of like some of this actual report, our wake-up call. You know? It's kind of like it's time to get serious. To implement what we have planned. To stop corruption. To create real opportunities. Economic opportunities. But what does it requires will? It requires political will, a collective will. It requires your will. Remember, the implementers that I'm talking about, it's you. You are the implementers. It requires your will. All right? So please do come through. You're most welcome to come through and have your opinion and have your reaction to that. Our telephone number is 08333 66091. 08333 66091. Are people in Windhoek? Are you? Is the radio on? Are you? You know? Can you hear? Can you listen through the radio? So, yeah. If not, make sure that you download the app. To follow and connect with Eagle FM through your app. So, what is your reaction? Our telephone number is 08333 66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafatana, Longishifa, ya, as you demo, she wana. E. Moyao, or Tango, what is a mini. Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom, Banawa, or Chica. Say, Sanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo dengira selma konarahita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you and thanks for joining us. And thank you for joining us if you just joining us now. Our time is about 21 minutes past the hour of 9. This is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And we go up to 10 o'clock when we will be handing over to Tate Naluvanda. We will be coming a little bit later on to give you the program Kwitha Mosha. So, let's look at what is our takeaway. What is a few takeaway from what we discussed today? So unemployment and lack of economic opportunities are now the biggest risk facing Namibia, according to the World Economic Forum. And this, as I said earlier, this should be a wake-up call for us. So, and the 58% of Namibian work in the informal economy. So that's also something that, and this shows our formal economy is too small and not creating enough opportunities. So if we have about 58% of Namibian really working in informal sector, in informal economy, it shows that our formal economy is too small and not creating enough opportunities. And another issue then from the story that we look at from the article, youth unemployment is above 44%. This is not something new. We are losing a generation. We're losing their talent. We're losing their potential and their dreams. So if we're not doing anything, you know, to address the problems. So we have a plan, you know, the 6th National Developing Plan, the Vision 2030. But plans are useless without implementation. And this is the disease that I've been saying. That's a very disease. We need some kind of an open surgery, as someone actually referred to Manchester United some time ago, that Manchester United need an open surgery. So I think Namibia need an open surgery in terms of implementation. And diagnoses what is the problems. And implementation requires really fighting corruption, fighting, you know, building institutions and also, yeah, basically holding leaders accountable. Yeah, holding yourself accountable as well, because you are part of this. So solutions exist. It's not that there are no solutions. Solution exists. Economic diversification, you know, supporting local businesses. And the most important thing is investing in the skills, you know, equip, you know, the Namibians. So improve infrastructure, and that's also very important. But this requires action. it's quite a deliberate action, not just talk. You know, talk is cheap. Eh? They said talk is cheap. Now, we're all part of this. Government, business, civil society. We shouldn't just pointing finger to one entity. So we're all part of this. All of us. You know, individual citizens as well. You, listening now, you are also part of this. You all have a role to play. I'm playing mine. So I'm playing mine, you know? So, yeah. So the World Economic Forum report is not, it's not just statistics, because sometimes you pick up and you think, ah, these are just statistics. No, it's about people. It's about people. It's about Peter that we talked about at the beginning. Peter Namasep and thousands like him, you know, about every graduate sending out CVs and hearing nothing. It's about those people. It's about every parent watching their child's potential wasted. Eh? About every community with no jobs and no hope. That's what this is all about. And the question is simple, my friend. Are we going to accept this? Or are we going to demand change? Eh? If we want change, we need to demand that change. Are we going to let another 5 years pass with more plans and more reports? Hmm? Or are we going to insist on action? It's a time for action. So the choice is ours, all of ours. All right? So 08, you can still come through on that. 081, 08333660 91. So you still mostly come through. You mostly welcome to come through and have your say on that one. So 08333660 91. If when we come back, we change the land. We change, you know, we move on to something different. But you most welcome if you want to comment or contribute or have your reaction. So 08333660 91.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
All right, welcome back. Now, let's look through this. Let's you remember the recently, day before yesterday or night? Yeah, night before yesterday. The U.S. House of Representatives just voted to extend AGOA, you know, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. 340 lawmakers say yes, only 54 say no. So big numbers. Now it goes to the Senate. So what is this? We all know what AGOA, maybe not all of us, all right? So I always think AGOA in this way. It could be a funny way when you think AGOA. I always think of AGOA as America's trade discount card, you know? So AGOA is like the America's trade discount card for African countries. It's a discount card for African countries. So yeah, since the year 2000, eligible African nations can send certain product to the U.S. state, to United States, not U.S. state. My good Lord, where am I this morning? So can actually send their certain product to the United States without paying import duties. So no tariff, no extra cost. That means, for example, our beef, when we started also trading grapes, our grapes are good, can compete in American market without being taxed at the border. So that's the beauty of AGOA. So that actually the discount, American discount, trade discount card, you know? So we have been using ourselves, we have been using AGOA. Remember, 2016, Namibia became the first African country allowed to send raw beef to America. All right? So we pick up from this advert after this.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weda ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no mafa ku murungu wa indu walirongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba una ovi une dia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to twika ovingi no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva o presente dano komieve vitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo komieve hambu umwe moshimariva o presente mirongo ivari na dano Pamiedi ya mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uhaka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
My friend, why do you seem so?
Alright, welcome back. Welcome back. So we're looking at the if you're just joining us, we're looking at AGOA. The American, the House of Representatives has just voted to extend, AGOA. We're looking at, you know, that to extend that actually until December 2028. So, yeah. And, so what we're looking at, here, what, why actually that matter for us as Namibia? We have been using AGOA. Remember the from 2016, Namibia became, as I said, we became the first African country allowed to send raw beef to America, and that was historic. It was really historic. We also export table grapes. Under this program, but there are also other, you know, other commodities that we sell to America: uranium, gold, copper, diamond. But these has low tariff anyway. So because they actually meet the interests of America, so they have low interest anyway. So AGOA hasn't been. Haven't been really a massive game changer for us, really. Not yet anyway. Yeah. When we talk about, yeah, beef and table grape, but for others, the other has already, America has interest in those, and then they have actually low tariff. Now, but here's the opportunity. So we have the opportunity again. If this extension passes the Senate House, we get another window now, another chance again. So the duty-free access come back, and companies that paid duty between October, and this is actually a good news for those companies, company that actually paid duties between October last year and whenever this law kicks in, they get their refunds. They will get their refund. That's actually the good news. So now let's talk about the implications. So the implication of this first question is, will this new AGOA protect us from Trump? You know, Trump's other tariff. So would that protect us? The bill, it doesn't say. The bill does, maybe we haven't gone into it to understand whether they'd say. Trump's administration has been slapping tariff left and right to anyone. So even if AGOA, you know, comes back, will it actually shield our export? That's not clear. That's really unclear. We don't know. So the second question is, what about South Africa? You know, our neighbor, our biggest trading partner in the region, might not actually qualify anymore. You know, why? Because Washington is angry. Washington is angry with Pretoria. They accuse Pretoria of discriminating against white citizens. You remember that? They don't like South Africa's friendship with China, with Russia, and with Iran, you know, and the naval exercise with those countries of the South African at the South African coast, that really upset the American. So it really upset the American. So now and it gets interesting. It gets really interesting for all of us. You know, the U.S. Congress is now openly saying. The reason why I'm saying it's getting now interesting for all of us is that they openly saying AGOA isn't just about trade anymore. You understand? It's not just about trade. It's about geopolitics. You know? It's about geopolitics. It's about competing with China. And they're saying this openly. Yeah? So listen to their fact sheet says, what their fact sheet say. Africa has 30% of the world's critical minerals. Yeah, we have 30% of the world's critical minerals. China has invested $8 to $10 billion to control those supply chain. And America sees AGOA as a weapon. Yeah, that's their word, not mine. They are the one that said they see this AGOA as a weapon. And this is not my word. It's their word. So as a tool to secure their economic and national security interests in Africa. So, and they're saying this openly. And we are listening. Eh? Do you need translation? Do you need translation? Maybe you couldn't hear the American English, you know. So I can translate. I've been there. So they want to use, what they're saying is this. They want to use trade deals to pull African countries away from China and Russia. All right? Clear? They want us to pick sides. That's the translation. Have I translated right? So... Yeah, no, seriously, they, from what they're saying is that, you know, they want to use trade deals to pull African countries away from China and Russia. So, as I said, this is geopolitical. They want us to pick sides. So, now, I think we have to understand, it was never a charity. AGOA was never a charity anyway. If you understood that was the case, you are absolutely, absolutely wrong. So it was never a charity. It was always strategic. AGOA was always strategic. But now, they are saying the quiet part out loud. It was not something that was actually said out loud, but now they are saying it out loud. So they want our minerals. They want our minerals. They want our alignment. Okay? And if you get too cozy, you know, so they said, if you get too cozy with Beijing or Moscow, your trade benefits might disappear. So, and China, by the way, just compared now to the Americans, scrapped tariff on import from 53 African countries. Completely scrapped it off. Yeah? And while America was now raising duties, so China was removing them. So it's the other way around. Who is winning that battle now? You know, who is winning that battle for influence? You tell me. Eh? Who is winning that battle of influence? So you're raising duties, China removing them. It's quite obvious. So now... Namibia launched an AGOA utilization strategy back in 2021. We want to export more value-added products, more agriculture goods, you know, agricultural goods. So not just raw materials. That's the idea of that. And the vision is there. But the big question is, are we ready? I said, are we ready? What do we have? Are our industry prepared to take advantage of this extension passes? If this extension passes, right? Are we? Even we have, maybe we have market in China. I mean, we even have, maybe this opportunity in other, but do we have industry prepared to take advantage? Well, industry in China take advantage, for example, in Namibia. That's why they're running our mine. Our mining, they took their chances. You understand? They took that advantage. So, do we have industry that are prepared to take that advantage? Yeah? That's the question. Research shows that without AGOA, our fishing processing, our beef sector, our beverage industries struggle to compete internationally. So that's why I'm asking, are our industry prepared? Are they prepared to take advantage? And as the research have shown that without AGOA, all of our fishing processing, our beef sectors, our beverages industry, they struggle to compete internationally. They need that preferential access. You know, they need that level playing field. Level playing field for us to be able to compete. So, and this is what I want to unpack with you. So maybe let's look at that. That's what I really want to unpack with you in terms of that. Now, my first question, and I'm doing, let's ask this question. And please unpack with me on this. You know, the first question is this. Are we comfortable? You know, are we comfortable being a pawn? Yeah, we are being a pawn in a game between our US and China. Are you comfortable? This trade deal is being framed, and we hear that, it's being framed as a tool against China. Is this a genuine partnership for development, or are we just being used to score points, you know, in a global rivalry? So, and maybe the other question to that is that what is the real price of this opportunity? What is the real, we are a pawn in a game between China and the United States. And AGOA is being used for that. So, and my second question is for us, right here at home, here now, are we doing enough? So are we doing enough? Our AGOA strategy has been around for a few years now. Are we moving fast enough to diversify? As our strategy shows, as our strategy, you know, as we put that in a strategy, are we doing enough? Are we building enough factory to process our own good here? Instead of just exporting raw, you know, materials, we keep saying this over and over. Are we happy to let others add value and take their biggest profit? Are we happy? I'm not happy. Are you happy? And maybe there is also a regional question. Okay. What happened if South Africa get kicked out of AGOA? Okay, what happened if South Africa get kicked out? They are our biggest economic partner. You know, well, the economists would know better what could be the consequences. If they are punished, what does the ripple effect look like for Namibia? I don't know. I'm just asking questions. I'm paid to ask questions. That's why I sit in this chair. It's to ask questions. It's for you to answer. I don't need to answer them. I'm just pointing in two directions. Okay. Of thinking. Okay. Think about this one. Okay. Think about this. What about this? You know, that's all what I'm paid to do. All right. Should we be speaking up as a regional solidarity? Or should we together maybe each one wants, you know, or we just, you know, each one just think your own, your own belly. Regionally, each one think about your own belly. So we should be speaking up for regional solidarity, or should we just focus on our security, on our securing our own piece of the pie? Yeah? So we only worry about our own piece of the pie. So our own piece of the pie comes first. Then, then maybe we can think about the region. So, yeah, those are conversations we need to have, because AGOA might be extended, but it comes with strings attached. As always, it's come with strings attached. It always has. So we just see them more clearly now. Our eyes are open. Actually, it's not that our eyes are open. America is saying it clearly. It's saying it right publicly. So it was more silent, but now it's saying that I'm using AGOA as a tool. You know, well, the Senate still needs to vote. Nothing is final yet. But this is our moment to think strategically. Okay? Can we think strategically at once? You know, can we take opportunity of that? What do we want? What is that we want? What are we willing to compromise? And how do we build an economy that it doesn't depend on the goodwill of superpower, you know, playing chess with our continent? How do we do that? Well, I want to hear from you. You may come in now. You may come through. So what do you think about AGOA? Should Namibia chase this opportunity, or should we look elsewhere? Maybe we should look somewhere else. Is there somewhere else that we can look at? And there is, okay. When we talk about AGOA, then there is that. That's also another story. I'm just bringing them together. You know, you know. So I'm kind of thinking how small countries actually navigate. If you want, how do small countries navigate a world run by giants? You know, I'm asking, should we look somewhere else? And I'm asking, how do we navigate a world run by giants? Do we really have that freedom to say, we don't want that, we want that. Not him. Do we have that option? And there's a story about South Africa, you know. And trust me, it mattered to every single one of us also on this continent. So here's what happened. South Africa just kicked Iran out of naval exercise happening right now off their coast. Now, not officially kicked out. Let's be diplomatic here. They asked Iran to step back. You know, three Iranian warships that sailed all the way to Simonstown near Cape Town. I know the town. And they are now just observers. You know, they can't watch. They can watch, you know, they can watch, but they can't participate in the live fire drill. So this exercise, you know, these exercises are called Will for Peace 2026. So this exercise is called Will for Peace 2026. China is hosting them, okay? Now, Russia is involved, so is the United Arab Emirates. Now, it was supposed to be a big BRICS, you know, the BRIC plus show of military corporations. So BRICS, remember, is that block, of major merging economies like Brazil, Russia. BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa and Iran joining in 2024. I think they need to change that. They need to come up with a different name. Because otherwise, how do you, you can't add on everyone that comes on. So they need to come up with a different name. So the military exercise between friendly, this is a military exercise between friendly countries, between friendly nations, having, you know, and this kind of thing happen all the time. You know, the military exercise between friendly nations happen all the time. Nothing unusual there. So except this time, something very unusual did happen. So what happened? Donald Trump stepped in, the most powerful person in the universe. So he stepped in. Now, days before South Africa made this decision, Trump posted on his Truth social platform. He issued a threat. Let me paraphrase what he said. He said, any country doing business with Iran will face a 25% tariff on all trade with the United States. He called it final and conclusive. So that's what he wrote. Now, final, conclusive, those are very, very strong words. You know, those are very strong words. Now, and South Africa blinked. South Africa blinked, you know, that don't blink. And then, South Africa blinked. So now, why this is important? I think this is very important. South Africa is our neighbor, as I said earlier on. They are the continent's most industrial economy. So they are BRICS member, which means they are supposed to be part of this alternative power block, you know, challenging Western domination. And they pride themselves on independent foreign policy. And they stood with Palestine. They took Israel to the International Court of Justice. They maintained a relationship with Russia, China, and Iran. So, yeah. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, let me just start with this one and conclude here.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's true. I've also read where the Chinese, they are threatening, well, in fact not threatening, actually they have just attacked some of these American facilities in Venezuela, what's this country where the head of state were captured,
Venezuela.
Yeah. So there is a serious issue going on there, trade issue.
Yeah.
Especially on the cyber attack and other things like that. So I don't know the effect, the impact that we have on the U.S. Interest in Venezuela, whatever.
Yeah, Venezuela is one of the largest deposit of oil in the world.
Yes, yes. So now what the Chinese and all those countries are doing is to attack those facilities with those cyber attacks, actually. And it's going very serious.
Oh.
So I'm not so sure whether the Americans and things like that and the Chinese, they will have a negotiation on how to mitigate that war, trade war. So, but it's something that is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
So this is what America is trying to do with South Africa is actually what it's trying to do with all other BRICS members. You know, he's targeting their interest. He's targeting where their interests are. You know,
I think for South Africa, it's lucky because the BRICS have realized that Trump might put his hand there. That's why they have been drilling and making sure that any threat can be responded with with harsh force.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's also a good way just to make sure that I know European markets in South Africa, even in Namibia, there are plenty. But now that they have put their military, they are correctly putting their military force together, just to make sure that South Africa does not become like Venezuela or whatever that country is.
Yeah.
And I think it's just good because Trump is actually doing so bad. It's not good. It's not something that can be welcome at all.
All right.
So thank you very much.
No, thanks for coming through.
Good.
All right. Yeah, we still have about 5 minutes before we come to the end of our unpacking the day this morning. So it's the last one for the week. Yeah, so, and Tatenaluvanda have arrived, has come into the building. We're going to talk to him before we come to the end of the show. So, now, I was saying, you know, South Africa, they pride themselves on independent foreign policies. We talked about they stood with Palestine, they took Israel to the International Court of Justice, and they maintain relations with Russia, China, and Iran. So, but when Trump threatened their wallet, you know, when Russia actually threatened their wallet, what did they do? They folded. Why? Because AGOA, as we said earlier on, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, the same trade program we were just discussing earlier on this show, you know, so South Africa export billion to the United States under AGOA. Now, duty-free access. So no tariff. It is a lifeline for their economy. So they have so many things that a lot of commodities that actually trade with America. Cars, textiles, agricultural product. All of it flows to America without extra cost because of the AGOA. So, but AGOA expired in September last year. Right now, the U.S. House of Representatives, as we were talking earlier on, is debating whether to renew it for the 3 more years. So, and South Africa is terrified that they might be excluded. So now, Washington already knows that America already doesn't like Pretoria's friend, you know, South Africa's friend. They don't like South Africa's relationship with Russia. You know, they definitely don't like the ties with Iran. And they have accused South Africans of discriminating against the white citizens. So they have criticized this naval exercise before. So, and now Trump times his Iran tariff threat, I think he times that perfectly. So right when now AGOA renewal is being discussed, right when South Africa is most vulnerable, because message received, Pretoria asked Iran to step back. So when it comes to your tummy, you will choose actually your tummy than your friends. So now the question is, is this diplomacy, as we normally say, is this diplomacy or is this bullying? Eh? Is this diplomacy or is it bullying? South African officials are trying to save faces. So if you listen to what they're saying, they say the decision was made in consulting with Tehran. They say it happened before a recent protest in Iran that the U.S. condemned. But come on, you know, we all know that this is not true. I mean, we all know what this is all about. So this is economic cohesion. This is economic bullying, if you want to put it this way. This is a superpower using trade access as a weapon to dictate who can exercise with. Now, they are dictating South Africa now to say who you can exercise with, who you can be friends with, and what your foreign policy should look like. That's a superpower who is actually dictating that. So if South Africa, with the biggest economy in sub-Saharan Africa, with nuclear weapons history, with a seat in BRICS also, if they can be pressured like this, so what chance do smaller countries like Namibia have? You know, think about it. We also benefit from AGOA. We also want to maintain our independence. Now, we also trying to balance relationship with different global powers. But when push comes to shove, when America threatened our economic access, can we stand firm? Can we really stand firm against America? Would we be able to stand firm against them? You know? So, yeah, I think we have come to, you know, to the end of this session this morning. Yeah, there was still a lot we could have discussed on that. Some very important point, some questions that are that we should have actually gone into, and you could have come through actually and then contribute. So yeah, we have Tate Nalubanda in the house. Tate Nalubanda.
Tate Michael.
Oh, ngulo iwatu.
Eh, wakuto muno madinata kuma.
Ay, kato. Ay, ama mosho.
Tanka yambi kwa meulu.
Ama mosho vedi.
Ama. Eh. Andisho nyemoro madinati liya negana.
Ay, ama mosho vedi. Ay, dula.
Ongula, kwa ita mpo bishigeni nana.
Ai neno okwa itoranduro solid pipete ili mo moshike mo moshi foje to show the villager tashipo pingo shinashangano no kucha oshike aiti okwa ingo tishinashano ku no punaro shima tashi stepping in quickly
akulupa tata anguna jia
Yani
ngeye mwiti ndi wacho wena iko junior paifo watalipo pengela ndi. Ndi wacharo program mwako yate ngeo ngeratu popi ngeende anu wena kukamwiti kamuro milandu ita dilandu wawari.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So we were talking about, now we're talking about AGOA opo America aharo ku vaninga vaharo ku okurinyua na tango o AGOA ihaipitike opwa Africa va pingakanifoma na America ita futwe tarif ya osho ashetane o mapingakanifa ita kareno akareli atodrugu competinga mu America ngenge inakutro tarif ya bara America watashipo bina ukida kucha o teshiningi shasho kwere kucha China okwa okununene ni okwakwata kunene Africa. Yo omoyamba o resources adimwe didapubiwa paife munyuni. Edidina shanando kulongi fitwa ya kuti electric cars, batteries and things like that, cell phone nani ni mayo. Oili mu Africa. Ya ye paife kwete kucha yesi America atura kwe tarifa. Pilongo kucha kesho utopinga kanifa nayo to une tarifa do difika apa. Russia I mean China or hapinga kanifana Africa for free. So paifo kwede kucha man onkala undana umboli antikana.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, we are back. Poingo pendoka okashike ine maneyu technology aluche to inekere nana pitu rangone mu technology mala haluche nana hai longo ngashita terera. Yeah, so yeah, ambaros takunda fana no palingo simwene sita popya petame kolera po vene. Tate Nalubanda. Simwene sita popya petame kolera vene.
Yeah.
or panel report your World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
Da ipopi kucha Namibia okulimo shiponga osho atarera uhena okwene ilonga no show okukarapwe hene mito dinashano, you know, no mayambupule popa economy. You know, tashiti osho shatarera Namibia mo 2026. So okwene ilonga no lack of economic opportunity. Osho tashipe tana tango tukare moruhepo no tukare mongarongo muna tango tuli, you know, kape nerunduruko. Yeah, so ambala osho ngo takwanjangira nasho, so ehokololo nilo veno moriri moshifo osho so the villager no kesho unga harangeno kuile shira udena na fifiru kucha oshike nana tashipopiwa na let's subscribe to the villager, and then get your free copy of the villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So nene wacho unamoshike ove?
Yeah, I nena amondina aike ndala kutara painjo kono na detu dona kudiwa.
Yeah.
Nene ndatarapo pezimo limwende talitaizimo vahapo vahapo.
Yeah.
Ashidulikoro likweto itu ndanena atufana mova kwa nirwa. Ndashidulika nena penya takuchopeno wa kwa nekamba marambole anuwa wa shidulika. Mwave kende wa mwetaviru kilo inakulu. Ndara nekuli tala na wanena. Weku demono mazimu wa hapo kuchambole anuwa wa mbole yoshoveli nga. Shoke ndara kuwa pane na kashona. Shashe otunova na weine imwepefi. Yeah. Shilongo shike nina komayo. Anu tanya mwa kulela fana. Mwini miringa. Unatweta po polkara madiringa. Utpahala huku mwutpa fikiriru kwa umekurukucha. Una tutarun mea pove,
yeah.
Ombizo ineko mangenete, eri avali, nengila mbali. Gengo wamono nwe eholeke pove, ashiduliko mkweni, le kushishika mwasha geneke mshimbo nuku.
Ondo ete inani.
Ondo ete inani. Ilo wamona muli mwo mihole nunu.
Yeah.
Ilo wamono nunu ntondaiki. Ilo mweke nga ongewea muto ndutondaiki. Sheke toke mungi ninganai, akurunu shiteke anuwa mwave. Kwa kwa chokanda kanumba, ilo nwatwalange punda akonde, tati we pundali uli ya kwe toko cha mwene we pundali ae. Omei kosho veli woko idula. Oh, amba.
Otati mbro kifangene.
Hmm.
Olie. Esituari ngoma anga triko sekondere kwi.
Ya.
Ae ufifitu wetu ngone wetu wa mati ngone ndisi.
Ya.
Opu wa mandi. Punano kata naka mwe very beautiful.
Hmm.
La choka jamo neke kalongoko.
Iya.
Opo ame itamege ngwa tupopina kwa tuina kwa mo.
Ilonga mbizo.
Mohole.
Mm-hmm.
Mara ne kakwa ingo pa pokatiketu na inapu olo kashango. Mm-hmm. Na tuya nando pamlelo something.
Mm-hmm.
Moku kao, moku kenshiva. Ondakamo na kucha. Actually, or no, to or meti, or to meti mori
mwani. Mbizo shone ilino. Yo shone ndara utale kucha anuwa kwa li ajani la itanga ipi.
Iya.
O mwamone ya mcho medio ye, tachyo mazimo kwa ishafani. Shoshu wa sheta anuwa kongwe kucha, unuwa kwa Japan. Yeah. Tata lengo kwa janga modi kwa yavo. Umotuwa dirilo, chacho kuneke finanu utai dimono vovi ilandula. Engashu watongo kwa idula. Itine, orudila idula ya kuva, orudilo idula ava.
Orudilo idula ava vo, ava vo, kuvo, vo kombinga yoko hangwena.
Upendo idula ota dalo timo ya idula kwa mwe
timo yali ambara idula ambara idula sama neveri batatu moshirongo kese ikambara idula uto tomono topopi okuya kasa mana veri batatu
ya
atushe na avu sheve nyambara uko tajako ondi umo uko kutacha ya
anwa wakwashi gano.
O koma patane ndishi.
Ko kwa mufu anuwa kwa hii.
Kufana kwa hepa.
Tashio pongo mwadila poka muru wapa.
Yeah.
Mwajango mwadi kwa hikongo hia kutuni na hikongo hia na yeni.
Yeah.
Ae, kwa hepo, pata aliwa, tituli pope jondili shinawa, tameko la lofioko kula katuake kavangwa kushio kondili weti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, tate naruma ndana tukupe oshipundi.
Yeah.
Ove utu pomo yerele uwa longe kindrapo nina.
Mm-hmm.
Ya, yeah, ano vakwe tunapimo nemo, let's meet again, Monday.
Yeah.
Ooh. Let's meet again on Monday. Mm-hmm. And from me, Michael Chiavelli, and Unpacking the Day, I'm saying my goodbyes. Until tomorrow, when we bring you Mind Matters at 11 to 1 o'clock. So goodbye. See you tomorrow.